All right, today we're going to talk about the New Age cult. Turn in your textbooks to page 409, and in our Bibles to Job chapter 9. I don't think there's any mystical coincidence happening there, just the way it worked. So Job 9 and page 409 in the textbook, Kingdom of the Cults. We'll teach a little bit, then we'll take some questions if there are any. Job 9. Mm-hmm. Nope. All right, we're going to talk about the Christ of the New Age. A lot of this is kind of rehashed. A lot of it is rehashed. So you have seen a lot of this before. We want to talk about the Christ of the New Age. The Christ of the New Age. There was a day when I felt really comfortable just referring to Christ. He accepted Christ. He trusted Christ. We worship Christ. A lot of Christmas carols. Christ the Lord. Well, really what we haven't done is identify who the Christ is. So that will come up in just a moment, because after we're done looking at Job, we're going to look over at 1 John. We're going to identify what an Antichrist is. It's really interesting. It actually tells us what an Antichrist is. So something tells me that the idea of a Christ is very ancient. And that the word Christos, which is the Greek behind the English word Christ, and the word Mashiach behind the Hebrew word Messiah, or I should say behind the Hebrew word anointed in the Old Testament, both those words, I think, are pretty well commonly used. And the reason I say that is because this abuse of the idea of the Christ is not new. I think it predates the actual historical Jesus, the Christ, on planet Earth. So we're going to take a look at some things here. First of all, notice in 1982, newspapers started taking a full-page advertisement saying the Christ is now here. I told you that in 2007, I was looking around in Barnes & Noble and saw a two-volume hardcover book set called The Second Coming of Christ. Picked it off the shelf, looked at it, thought, this doesn't even have scripture in it. What could this possibly be talking about? Didn't really know much about New Age movement, Hinduism, that kind of thing back in the day, back 6 years ago. So that was new to me to see that Eastern religions were using the term Christ. And they're saying that the second coming has arrived or that it is soon coming. It really, just like in Christianity, you have different shades of belief within the greater spectrum of Christianity. You're going to find the same thing exists in the New Age movement. There's a great spectrum, a great variance among New Agers. And so some think that the Christ has come, some think that the Christ is coming. And usually it is synonymous with this thing known as the Age of Aquarius. The Age of Aquarius. We're going to talk about what that means. Back in the 60s and 70s, the dopers and free lovers usually sang those great songs about, you know, I think, how's it go? A Neptune or Jupiter in its seventh house, and I don't know. Anyways, there's astrology and astronomy are not the same thing. Astronomy is the study of stars. Astrology is the study of constellations, heavenly bodies, and their ability to dictate what will happen. And we've so normalized it, commonized it, that you can find it in the newspaper in something known as a
horoscope,
right? All right, so there are three New Age groups joining this Tara Foundation, but the nebulous ad inevitably, third paragraph, inevitably failed to attract the kind of attention Cream had anticipated. Who's this Creme or Cream guy? I would probably go with Creme if it was me.
He's the leader of the Tara Foundation.
Yeah, very good. And notice in his book, The Reappearance of Christ, he said, the Christ is not God. He is not coming as God. He's an embodiment of an aspect of God, the love aspect of God. So he's the embodiment of the love of God. He's the embodied soul of all creation. He embodies the energy which is conscientious, energy which is consciousness, aspect of the being we call God. We would rather that you didn't pray to him, or he would rather that you didn't pray to him, but to God within you, which is also within him. He said it himself, the kingdom of God is within you. He is yanking Luke chapter 17, verse 20 out of context. And so all of a sudden they're going to be quoters of scripture. That's very, very nice of them. So they said all of a sudden that when Christ says the kingdom of God is in you, that he must be also saying that Christ is a part of you. Turn the page. Look at the bottom of page 410. We're covering a lot of ground in a short amount of time. Particularly, because a lot of this we've already seen discussed in a myriad of previous discussions, such as theosophy and Hinduism, this idea of a universal Christ or universal consciousness. The Buddhists call it the universal Buddha mind or universal consciousness or soul consciousness. So we don't want to wear it out. The idea is that this New Age idea has an approach, a new age coming, which is the age of the Christ consciousness or the age of Aquarius. All right. Notice first paragraph under the New Age conspiracy, middle of the paragraph, this writer Marilyn Ferguson describes in her book the title Aquarian Conspiracy that it actually exists. Many people within the overall New Age movement believe that they can hasten the coming of the Age of Peace by working together to influence developments in Western cultures, political, economic, education, religious life. Obviously, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you are going to not be a very good part of this. You are going to be seen as a speed bump to socio-economic development, which is just a churched-up way of saying evolution. So as an organization, as a culture, we want to evolve, and so we have to get rid of all the non-unifying factors in our evolution. One of those are these pesky Christians that want to say things like, it's wrong to kill your baby. It's wrong to love a man if you're a man in an intimate way. Those strange things that you never thought you'd have to duck when you say. All right? Look at page 412. Let's find out the nature of their biblical revelation in page 412. Tomorrow we'll get into some of the specifics of what they might believe if they're part of the New Age movement. Try to remember the New Age movement doesn't have a particular leader. It is a mood. It is a feeling of religion. It is obviously satanic. How can you have so many unifying factors and no particular leader? Well, there must be a force somewhere behind the curtain, so to speak. So, sacrificing biblical revelation. Notice the paragraph below Matthew 22. The New Age movement embraces what has been termed monistic pantheism. What is monism again?
All one.
Yeah, basically everyone's a part of the same energy. And pantheism is what?
Everything's God.
Right, multi-God or everything is God. Really, polytheism would be multi-God, wouldn't it? So, monistic pantheism, meaning all is one and all is God. Since the movement believes man is divine, as Satan once promised he would be in Eden, the next great event is the dawn of the millennial kingdom. All right, so they're looking for this Christ figure, and they're looking for this new age. All right, folks, pay attention. I think it's best summed up in the paragraph right above sacrificing biblical revelation. Look at the bottom sentence. It's a recipe for ethical anarchy. Look here, both messianic and millennial. Both messianic and millennial. They're looking for a Christ figure that will be the embodiment of the love of God, and they're looking for him to bring in this new age. Well, that sounds just like what we're looking for. We're looking for the Christ to come to give us this millennial age. So you understand, I hope you understand, that when the Antichrist comes, he will be well received. Because most people are looking for Christ-like features in a world leader. Someone who can solve world hunger. Someone who can stop all the wars. Someone who can unify all the different cultures of the world. Someone who can get us all on a currency. All on the same global economic system. You know, we can all feed one another, speak the same language, use the same money. And we're just a big, happy family. All right? Well, who can do that? Well, someone with satanic power. We're told in 2 Thessalonians 2 that this beast, this one world leader, this Antichrist who is coming, will have that kind of power. So let's look at some scriptures. We're going to traipse through a few passages of scripture, and I'm going to get you involved here. So let's look, first of all, at Genesis chapter number 3. We're going to look at a few there. Genesis chapter number 3, and we're going to move quickly through these. I know I told you Job 8, my apologies. Keep your place there, but look also at Genesis chapter 3. And let's see this lie. This New Age movement is not new. Far from it. The idea that you are God, worship the God within you, is as old as the serpent. So, you can trace it further back than India, further back than, you know, the Bhagavad Gita. You can chase it right back the Gita, you can trace it even before that to the Veda, even beyond that to Babylon, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. All right, so Genesis 3. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? All right, let's pick it up right here. Samantha?
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
Esther?
Of one of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it.
Yep, just in case you die, right? Go ahead.
The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die.
All right, Evelyn.
For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing God a good is evil.
All right, so the serpent, as you know, promised Adam and Eve that they'd be just like God. The truth is that in some other versions it says you will be like God. It's the same word, Elohim, in both cases. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. Same word here. For God knows that when your eyes will be open, you'll be just like Him, knowing good and evil. So there is this idea that the Jewish God was just a domineering one, and He didn't want anyone to know what He knew, and that's Jehovah. And everyone in this room can be just like Him and know good and evil, what's right, what's not, what's up, what's down. You can know, and really He's just austere and He doesn't want you to know. You are God. You'll be like Him. Just eat this fruit, and you will have your eyes open, and you will see who you are. Okay, well that is just, we've been studying that for 6 months, folks. Waiting for that moment when you can partake of something in rebellion to the God of the Bible and your eyes will be open. The Buddha mind, the Christ consciousness, the universal consciousness, dying in certain ways so that you can be a part of the non-physical realm, right? So this is not new. I want you to see, please, that this is not new. This is recorded for us in the first three chapters of the Bible. Okay, now look at Job chapter 9 where I had you go previously. I want you to see that stars are not unholy. They're not something to be afraid of. They're just they have a function. Okay, so Job, look at chapter 9. Look at verse number. Look at verse number 4. Go ahead, Amy. And has prospered. Okay, Toby.
Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger.
Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble.
Which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealed lift up the stars.
Which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea.
Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, in the chambers of
himself. Which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number.
All right, we'll stop there. So you can see right away that you have stars and constellations mentioned in the book of Job. And Job says God made them. Who can, and then in verse 13, look, if God, or rather verse 12, he takes it away, and who can hinder him? Who will say to him, what are you doing, basically? Who's going to look at God and say, after he made the constellations, what are you thinking? Basically, is what the question is. Now look at chapter 38, if you would. Look at chapter 38 of Job. Maybe in this room, God is going to give somebody an interest to study the stars and find out more about the Creator through the stars. All right, Emily, you're going to read verse 31, and then Malika will have you read 32 and work our way back there. Or wait a minute, have you guys read yet?
No.
All right, so go, Emily, to Jensen.
Can't the vine give sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion?
Can't that bring forth Masroth in a season, or can't that guide Arcturus with his son?
Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can't thou set the dominion thereof in the earth?
All right, well, hang on just a second there. That's good, thank you. It says Masroth is the one of the 12, is means the one of 12 signs. So what's that sound like? Starts with a Z. Masroth, the 12 signs of the, you guys don't, you've never heard of it? Yeah, the 12 signs of the zodiac. Right here in Job 38, God made them. Now, why did God make them? Why did God make them? Well, Psalm 19 tells us. Let's go there and look. Look at Psalm 19. And so we'll pick up in verse number 1. I guess we're back here with Malika. verse number 1, and we'll go through verse number 3. Make sure you're writing these references down.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Victor. 19. So the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. Verse 2. All right.
Speech and night unto night, swift knowledge.
All right, so in the night you can find knowledge. Well, in the context, apparently something is speaking. Well, the heavens are, and the firmament is. The heavens and the firmament. Remember, we find out in Genesis 1, they're one and the same. This is parallelism, poetry. So we have the heavens and the firmament speaking. How are they speaking? Verse 2 says they're speaking in the day and they're speaking in the night. What are they saying? Verse 3.
There is no speech, no language where their voice is not heard.
All right, now, you need to know, just stop right here. Everyone remember what you just read. Now let's look over at Romans 10. Let's find out what you're talking about. Look at Romans 10. What are the stars talking about? Are they talking about a new age of Aquarius, some sort of satanic global religion? Let's find out. Let's find out if that's what the psalmists thought they were talking about. Job, let's find out if Job thought that's what the 12 signs of the zodiac were about. Let's see. Romans chapter number 10, and let's pick it up in verse number 9. Who's up?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
All right, verse 11, or verse 10, who's got that?
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Okay.
There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that come.
All right, hang on just a second. Now, I wish I would have done this a little better, but in Psalm 19, we read verses 1 through 3. Now let me read verse 4 to you. Let me read verse 4 to you of Psalm 19. Here goes. Their line, that is the heavens and the firmament, which speaks day and night, their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now, look at verse number 15 and verse 17. So let's come back up here. Samantha, read verse 15 of Romans 10. You there still? Okay, I'll read it. How beautiful, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We read verse 17, please. Romans 10.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Okay, so Paul is saying exactly what it looks like he's saying. If you want to be saved, you have to hear. Okay, well maybe there's some folks out there that have an excuse because they haven't heard. Think about this now. Think about this. Now read verse 18. Come on, Philip.
But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all of the earth. No word is at the end of the world.
What did he just quote? Psalm 19, verse 4. So he's quoting Psalm 19 to show. Now, Esther, you read your verse. So, and what is Paul saying if he quotes Psalm 19 about the heavens declaring the glory of God? And in the context of Romans 10, he says, you can confess you to mount the Lord Jesus. There's not a single person that hasn't heard of him. What is he saying that Psalm 19 is talking about?
That no one's bad excuse.
Let me try to give her a chance first. What are the stars talking about? What are the 12 signs talking about?
God.
Not just God. Romans 10 in the context has a particular thought in mind. Okay, the gospel of who? And how do you get that out of that verse? The gospel of Christ. Why? How do you get that out of Romans 10? What is his argument? What did he just command us to do?
To confess with our mouth.
Right. Verse 9 says that the whole idea is to confess that Jesus is Lord. And he says in verse 18, it says so in the stars. Now, how is that possible? Well, maybe someone in this room will figure it out. But actually, the whole Bethlehem Star DVD, remember watching that? That pretty much tells the story, doesn't it? It's a great DVD. The Bethlehem Star talks about how the stars really do tell the story. I mean, you have one constellation that is Leo. Leo what?
Lion.
Yeah, a lion. And, of course, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, so it works quite well. One last verse. Let's look at 1 John 4, and then we'll be done. Let's talk about this whole bodiless Christ idea. 1 John chapter number 4. Now let's go with chapter 2, and let's look at verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whoso denies the Son has not the Father. And then we're going to go forth to chapter number, look at chapter number 4, look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Here's how we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Apparently, there was a religion back then that taught that the Christ didn't have a body. Because it says that you can tell a false spirit because he denies that the Christ has a body. And every spirit, verse 3, that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come and even now already is in the world. So there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world that denies that the Christ has a body. So, now you know what's driving the train behind the New Age movement. We'll see you tomorrow.